Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's the Miss Lee Experience. Welcome to another show where it's going to be an experience.
I will. Bigger topic, any topic we prepared, we ain't scared, we just listen. We be talking sex, lies, yeah, whatever. My homie JT, D&B Sports Center. Yeah. Miss Lee bringing guests after guests after guests. And we gonna
competition.
We demand our respect. Check out the check, yeah, we eat. This ain't a podcast, this is the life that we lead. From relationships, politics, you hear it all here. Got stilettos and combos and fashion right here. If you wanna throw the lead, hit a rut right quick. Or you can download on iTunes, you know she that got the show on YouTube. And no, man, I swear she the shit. My homie T-Wake, what up, know we up in this bitch. Spilling champagne, celebrating this year. The next year, after next year, after next year, after next year, after next year. For the Miss Lee Experience. Oh. Whoa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's your girl, Miss Lee. Welcome to another show where the experience is real, talking about real topics with real people and real music and all kinds of real conversation. Hope you guys are enjoying your week. I hope you had a good week. I hope it was full of blessings, love, and just happiness and positivity. Because, you know, it's so much going on in this world, and we got to make sure we're doing positive things to keep us motivated and keep us focused on the bigger picture. So with that being said, hope you're ready for the show. I miss y'all. I miss y'all. Because, you know, that's just what it is, man. Y'all my people, and I appreciate y'all. So tonight, y'all know, T mentioned last week that he's at CIAA out in Charlotte with his homeboys, enjoying the festivities out there. JT might be joining us tonight. He has the flu, but he might join in. I'm not sure. Nonetheless, this topic tonight is very, very important, you know, to kind of break down and talk about the elements of the wealthy, the poor, the upper, middle, lower class, just how finances and how it impacts your well-being and this functioning and living in society. We're talking about all of that tonight on the show. We also have a wonderful guest that's going to be joining us as well. Her name is Supreme Essence. She is the CEO, the founder, the president, the girl, the chick, the woman in charge of Credit Warriors, Inc. So she's going to be joining us and giving us some great ways to help us build our credit and really understand your credit score, really understand how credit is important and why it is so important. So she's going to be joining us because, you know, you got to not only have the money, but you also got to be able to understand the importance of what to do and how does credit impact. Because you could have all the money in the world and not really have credit. Like, you need credit to make things happen. So yeah, we're talking about that. Be sure to tune in. Definitely call in, because I want to know your thoughts on credit. I want to know your thoughts on the wealthy. What class are you in? Phone number is 347-934-0949. Press 1. I'll speak you. I'll bring you on. Say your comment. Speak your piece. We can have a conversation. Also, shout out to all of the new followers on the gram. I appreciate you for following me. I hope you're loving my post. You know, on the show and just some daily things of the things that I do on a basis of weekly and daily situations. So if you don't follow me on the gram, go ahead and follow me. It's just Miss Lee, ITSJUSTMISSLEE, all one word, all together. Also follow me on Facebook, Miss Lee on Facebook, and just Miss Lee on Twitter. Go ahead and follow me on all three platforms. You'll get to know all the details of the show. You get to see the crew. You get to see the guests. You get to get the information on all of the shows. And if you miss the show, don't worry. Please don't worry. All the shows are available here on Blog Talk Radio, you know, as well as YouTube, as well as iTunes in the podcast section. If you search for the Mystic Experience, all of the shows will appear. So let's get into this topic. So we got the classes, right? The income classes. And a lot of us, we think we know what defines it, you know, based off of the haves and the have-nots, right? Like, oh, you have it, you're up here, and oh, you don't, and you're down here. And that might not necessarily be true, because some people look at it as they have more than me, they're well off than me, when the reality is they might not be able to maintain it, or their growth might be different than their net, which might put them in different categories. So, you know, all of that has an impact on your income classes. On top of that, what also is a big impact on your income classes and your household is taxes. You know what I'm saying? Because it, the tax breaks, you know, and now with this new administration, you know, these tax breaks that we once had under Obama, under Bush, and under Clinton, you know what I'm saying, are all different, where you might have been able to write certain things off and now you can't, and which can also impact your income and how much you bring in and how much you live off of and how you're able to function financially. You know, so all of those things are important. And I know some things that a lot of individuals don't know, which has changed in the new tax laws, is if you do own a home, in the past, you were able to get a home equity line of credit or a home equity loan, and then you could write off your interest on your taxes, right? That changed. So you can only write your interest off on your primary residence that the mortgage is on, not on any second mortgages and all of that stuff, which can also impact your income and what you bring in and how you are able to sustain breaks. Excuse me. And things of the sort. So a lot of new things that happen tax-wise, and I know a lot of us are out there getting ready to file our taxes, and I'm so slow in this process. I need to get my life together. And I guess the fact that, you know, I don't have children, so for me to file is kind of like, here we go. But, you know, it's a part of life. But let's break apart the classes, okay? So, and this is off of Investopedia.com. And this is just a basic article that talks about the classes and defines the different classes. So I'm just going to read some snippets off of it so that way you're on the same page as me. Or you can even go to the site as well, Investopedia.com. And if you just search in the box, which income class are you? And it'll just pull up the article that I'm looking at, okay? So briefly it says, the median household income in the U.S. is $59,039, according to most recent data. Approximately half of all Americans will fall below the median household amount. The other half will fall above. So half above $59,000 a year, the other half below, okay? Although, you know, you might not, you could think about where you're under, it's that number does not equivalently define what upper, middle, and lower class is, okay? So that's just average where the income amount is, right? So the upper class is the top. So it doesn't have a definition. And a lot of people think that it's the top 1% to be in the upper class, right? So let me just give you some numbers. So in order to be the richest or in the upper class, the household needs to have an annual income of $389,436 a year. That's upper class, okay? That's the wealthy, okay? So some people think that it's higher. Like if you make $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 a year, you know, your household, you're in the upper class. And that could be what it is, but that's what I think where they're getting the 1%. From, which is not fully accurate, okay, based off of this site, and they do a lot of census, and this was updated September of last year, so this is fairly recent, okay? The middle class, and this is according to the census of 2015, 6.1% of households bring in $200,000 and higher every year, and 14.1% bring in $100,000 to $150,000. This is the upper middle. Okay, so you have the upper, which is $389,000 and higher. The upper middle is $100,000 and up. Okay, so you're not fully wealthy and you're not fully poor. We're not even talking about debt. This is just income and what you're bringing in. Okay, so that's off the census. So 2015, so 3 years ago, 6.1% of households bring in $200,000 or higher every year, and 14.1% bring in between $100,000 and $150,000. That's the upper middle. Okay, so this is defined as a person with a three-person household. Okay, so that's a husband, wife, and a child. So you got two incomes. So maybe the wife is making $50,000. You know, the husband is making 75, you know, and you're in that collective amount, okay? So that gives you an idea of upper middle, okay? So that's between 100, 350,000, okay? And that grown, okay, over the years, okay? So it wasn't, you know, in 1979, that was only 12% of the population, okay? So in comparison to 2015, where you got 14%. So it's growing, okay? And, you know, a lot of that might account for the college degrees and people are pursuing higher education, you know, and in comparison to 1979, you might have also had more individuals who are starting their own businesses and are being very successful, you know, and you're getting a lot more economic growth between, you know, 1979, 1980, and 2015. So much is going on in the country, you know, in between that time span of years. Okay, so now let's talk about the middle class, okay? So the middle class is individuals who bring in income between $35,000 to $100,000, okay? So that's 41.5%. So that's pretty much a good majority of the people you might know, work with, you know, trying to make it do what it do. 26% of American households earn more than that. 32% earn less. Okay, so between 35% and 32%, you got a nice little difference there. Okay, so that's average median household. Okay, I know I'm giving y'all numbers, but it's important that we know these things when it comes to our income and what we're bringing in and what we're not bringing in. Okay, so that's middle. Okay, so middle. $35,000 to $100,000, okay? So, and that's adjusted household income, okay? So, and let me give you a little bit more on this. The Pew Research Center defines the middle income category as including adults with family of three equivalent incomes between two-thirds and double the national median. This brings a range from $37,666 to $113,000 according to level. So, trying to figure out where you range, okay? So, President Trump said the middle class is shrinking, right? And he's right, because it is. Okay, this group used to make up the vast majority of the American population, but now stands at 50% of the American population. So, think about 50% of the population is in this range, right? And then they're growing, okay? Now, the lower middle. Now, this, I'm going to say, can include a lot of our disabled, Social Security, fixed income, you know, and people that just paycheck to paycheck. They're trying to make it do what it do. Because as you think about, the more you make, sometimes the more you spend. Housing goes up, but your salary might not raise at that same point. So being able to understand the finances is so important. So the middle class, you know, what we just talked about, 37 to 113 or 100,000. The lower middle class, they don't live in poverty, but they are struggling to stay above the poverty line. Okay, so this description would be individuals who make $18,000 a year to $47,000 a year. So 18,871 to 47,177, and this is for a family of three people, okay? That is considered lower middle, okay? So that's a big gap in dollars and cents. Think about living off of $18,000 among three people, a family of three. You know, that might, that just, and, you know, you might be getting assistance. I mean, who knows where you are on this level, right? So $18,047,177, okay? So that's as of a family of three in 2015, okay? Now, the poverty, okay, so this is when you just below the poverty line. You're just trying to, you don't even make enough money to just live, okay? So right now, the current poverty threshold is an income of $24,257 for a family of four. Four people living off of $24,000 and $18,871 for a family of three. Now, the reason why this figure is always in debate with, you know, again, this just came out last year, okay, is that many poor Americans that make this income are living in urban areas, okay, and they have a higher cost of living. So they're really trying to get by, like straight up keeping their head above water. You know, all of that straight good time, okay? You know what I'm saying? They're trying to make it, you know, and they're trying to feed their family. Might be, you know, they might not have the opportunity due to financial strain, due to educational levels, due to sometimes history in their family, you know, those cycles that keep going through. So they live in these high, these cities, and they're just trying to make do with what they have. So I wanted to break that up, and I'm going to share this on all social media so you're able to see, read, and understand the poverty levels, where you fall. Have conversations with your family. Have conversations with your children about those distinct characteristics of the income class, because the reality is you can't, if you don't know, you can't change. So knowledge is everything, and I say that the more you know, just imagine the star from NBC flying over your head. So important to know. So we're going to talk about more on that, and we're going to talk about different ways to kind of feed your financial palette, your credit palette. And I also have some differences between the middle rich class and all of that stuff as well. We don't talk about that. I got music tonight all about money, okay, because that's the topic, talking about money. So I'm going to hit y'all with an oldie but goodie. This is the OJs for the Love of Money here on the Mess Experience. We'll be back.
A lot of ways.
love of money. You know what I'm saying? We got to get the money music played tonight. Uh-oh, my lights just flickered. We going to pray. That the electricity don't flicker here in Maryland, because I'm telling you, it's crazy in these Maryland streets with the wind being 65 miles an hour, trees being knocked over, schools were closed. You know what I'm saying? Messing with the wealthy in the middle class. You know, oh, it's flickering again. We going to keep this in prayer, y'all. In Jesus' name, let's keep the lights on. It's Miss Lee. We're talking about the upper, the lower, the middle class. I told you we have a very special guest that's going to be joining us. Her name is Supreme Essence. She is a president, CEO, founder. She's doing her thing, inspiring and helping individuals get good credit scores. So not only being able to have the money, also being able to pay your bills, keep your credit, keep it good. Keep it going. Okay, so I want to talk about some differences. So 10 differences between the middle class and rich people. Because I feel like, I know we have some seniors, and let's talk about the seniors and the disabled, you know. And I feel like a huge important component of, I feel like our elderly, our disabled, fixed income individuals, you know, I feel like they deserve more. Okay, they worked, they struggled, they built up their retirement, and it's, yeah, you got to plan to retire. You really, really do, you know. And sometimes you can't effectively plan, because as you stop making the money that you were making in the past, and on top of that, property values is going up. You know, cost of living is increasing. Health issues might be increasing, you know, in which more money is put out, so it's kind of like a crazy balance with some, where you might have individuals who are retired or are on Social Security or on getting their disability and all of those things, and they put paid into it all of these years, you know what I mean, that they were working, you know. However, it's a situation where life happens, and because life has happened, they haven't effectively budgeted, or they can't plan for the unknown, you know. So it's either A, you live in fear not to spend what you saved, or B, you know what I'm saying, you keep working because you don't want to be in the poverty level. Because some people only make $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, you know what I'm saying. It's so much to think about. So I wanted to talk about some differences between the middle and the rich people, okay? And this is on lifehack.org, okay? So I got a lot of resources tonight. I hope y'all loving it. The middle class live comfortably, while the rich embrace being uncomfortable, which is interesting. So middle class live comfortably. So they're saying that typically it's comfortable to work in a safe job. You're working for someone else. Comfortable means happy. But rich people realize that things happen, and they put themselves in uncomfortable situations. They take more risk. They create wealth. They achieve great results because they're driven to be wealthy. You know, and that's a big thing, you know, between the middle class and the rich. A lot of people who are middle class, I see them a lot at my job and things of that nature. You know, they tend to not want to step out there and do new things because they don't want to change. They're comfortable. But just because you're comfortable, it doesn't mean that you're happy. Something to think about. Okay? The middle class live above their means, and the rich live below. Now, I can say, in the field of my 9-to-5, this is partially true. I see a lot of people who make $50,000 a year who want to buy $50,000 to $60,000 cars because it's about their image or whatever. Where I see people who make $100,000 to $200,000 a year, they okay with a Honda or a Toyota. You get what I'm saying? Or a Ford. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. Like, it's just the expenses that they spend. they and this is saying you won't see an average millionaire buying a multi-million-dollar home. You know, they don't. Rich people don't spend their money on depreciating liabilities. This is true. And, you know, and Jay-Z said it best in 444. I think it was, well, Family Feud. I want to say one of the two songs. You know, talking about they buy things that appreciate, not depreciate. You know what I'm saying? They appreciate what they have, and they live below. They like to live incognito life. You know, rich, the people that buy the rich cars, you know, they broke. Because you got the maintenance on the car. And here's a key component in this article. You know, it says, remember, if you earn a million a year and you spend $1 million a year, you're broke. You're not earning anything. So think about it. You make this money, you put out this money. You're not making anything. You're zero. You're zeroed out, which is crazy, but it's true. So, so true. 10 differences between the middle and the rich. Now, this is interesting. Number three, the middle class climb the corporate ladder. The rich own the ladder. The middle class always works for someone else. They have a job, a career. You know, they're doing their thing. So, whereas the upper middle and upper class, the rich class, they own the companies. They're employing the others. Okay? Rich people understand they need more people working for them. And that doesn't mean that they're being treated well. They might not be treated well. Think about the individuals at your job. You know what I'm saying? Like, you work hard. You might love what you do. It might be your career path. But the amount of work you put in, are most people that work, are they fairly compensated for what they do, and they're lower on the ladder when they're climbing to get up, and then there's feelings and all kinds of politics involved. So many elements to that. Whereas you could take the skills that you know and start your own. Just saying. But then it's at risk. Some people don't want to take those risks. It's important. Middle class, and this is interesting too. The middle class are friends with everybody. Well, rich choose wisely. And Warren Buffett said it's better to hang out with people better than you. Pick people hang out with people that got more than you. Not that you're trying to get what they have, but you're trying to absorb the nuggets, you know, of wisdom. You know what I'm saying? That they're absorbing. You get what I mean? And you know, a lot of middle class people, they have friends of all different calibers of people. You know what I'm saying? They're all over. All different types of friends. It's interesting. Rich people don't hang out with a lot of poor people. Choose their friends wisely. Just saying. 10 differences between the middle and rich. I need these lights to stop flickering, y'all. I'm just saying. We're talking about money. We got things to talk about. But I mentioned we're going to take a break and we're going to come back because there's so many more differences between the rich and the wealthy. I mentioned earlier that we do have a special guest. This young lady is motivating, changing lives, educating, building warriors in credit. She has so many different ways that she's impacting the community. She's helping, educating individuals on credit, how it works. You know, she is out there educating on credit, educating on ways to pay bills, hand them in, and getting you empowered to do the wonderful things. And as you know, she started out on her own. You know what I mean? And she's making people more of you than credit. This young lady, her name is Supreme Essence. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome her to the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello. Hi.
Hey. How are you? Welcome, welcome.
I'm- Thank you. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm good. You know, this topic, finances and money and upper class, lower class, all of these classes, people think money is like the most important thing, but credit is just as, if not more important. So tell everybody, Supreme, like what made you get into the credit business? Give them some background.
Alrighty. Well, first I'd like to thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this. This wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Yes.
And back in 2016 in February, I didn't get a tax return. I didn't get no taxes.
Okay.
And every year was my come up, getting my taxes. I would start little businesses. I would just do all kinds of stuff with my taxes. I would ball out. I just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So back in 2016, I had a 17 passenger bus that I took, and I turned it into a fashion store.
Okay. Okay.
And, unfortunately, my bus broke down. I needed $4,000 in repairs. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could just go into the bank and get the money because I was a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Little did I know, I got rejected because my business wasn't structured properly.
Gotcha.
So, it was horrible. It was a really, really horrible feeling. I came home. I said, babe, you know what? I think we need to get our credit right because the bank is not giving us anything. So that's when I went to the secondhand store, bought some books on credit, and I became obsessed, started studying, started using little techniques that I read and went to the library and studied cases in regards to credit repair and the law. Mm-hmm. I learned the laws. And then what I realized that you could use the law in your favor because there's several loopholes that people, the average person, does not know about. I discovered those loopholes and got my credit up from a 519 to over a 720 in 3 months. And then Credit Warriors was born. Credit Warriors was born May
26, 2016. Wow. 3 months. You jumped over 200 points.
Yes. Using the loopholes that I've learned.
Good gracious. And so for those that are listening who might not understand the credit range, can you give them an idea of what the ranges are from poor to excellent?
Okay. Well, for credit, for poor...
A little bit. I think we lost her. She might call back. She's going to join us in a little bit. But, you know, we definitely want to make sure everybody's aware of the credit range and what it means and then how it's impactful. Because the credit scores in different credit agencies report differently. And to know the number, you know, you kind of know what you're working with. And just to give you an idea, and I know she's going to join us and let us know a little bit more, but the credit range is from 300 to 850. So that's pretty much when you're looking at the Experian, the FICO, you know, the Vantage scores and the difference. So, you know, to move from a 519 to a 750 is just awesome, especially in 3 months. So, you know, you want to know where you are. And a lot of people are afraid to know their score, you know, so they don't, they feel like if I don't know, it's good. You know, no, but you need to know where you are. And, you know, your income has a play in that, because if you are in a situation where you're only able to pay the minimum of whatever is due, it does impact your score. So being able to live in a situation where you're able to handle your debt, your bills monthly, being able to budget things out, being able to learn how credit works, and being able to learn the loopholes and things of that nature, you can definitely grow your score and make it impactful and make it in a way where you're able to pass that wealth on and be approved for a home, be approved for a car, be approved for all those things. So even though you have the money, got to have that number to go along with it. So hopefully Supreme Essence will join us back. But what I'm going to do is play a quick song. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk more about income, credit, and all that good stuff. So here's a little Bruno Mars, Cardi B. Because, you know, I know I said music, money, but we're going to play this, and we're going to come right back real quick. We'll be back.
Diamonds up and down my chain. Cardi B straight stunning, can't tell me nothing. Bossed up and I changed the game. It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass got all them boys cooked. Work from dollar bills and I be popping rubber bands. Bruno Sang, tell me while I do my money dance like, hey. Flexing on the gram like, hey. Hit that little John, okay. Oh yeah, we dripping the finesse and getting paid.
Ooh, don't we look good together? There's a reason why they watch all night long.
Gentlemen, it's the girl, Miss Lee. Bruno Mars, Finesse, Cardi B. I said we'll be back. Supreme is here. We're talking about credit. We still got more to say. Technology is trying to hold us back tonight, but we rebuke it in the name of the man.
Yeah. That's true.
So, yes, I mentioned off air, and I was letting everybody know, the range is just from 300 to 850. And there are some differences between the FICO and the Vantage and Experian. So, what can you let everybody know, like some of those basic differences and what's important and what to look for?
Yes. Well, you know, you have we really base everything mostly off of the FICO scores,
okay.
And we also have to have excellent credit, which is in the high sevens, like 750. That's what we all strive for. You know, good credit, pretty good credit is between 700 and like 749. Then you have like fair credit, which is like 650 to 699. Poor credit is like 550 to 649. And bad credit is 550 and below.
Okay.
So we all strive for excellent credit, which is in the high sevens.
Mm-hmm. And between, and here's the thing too, that a lot of people, you know, I think people know, but then some are afraid to know what their credit score is, because some, they just don't understand, like, how, or they think it's bad when it's really not, because they've never looked at it. Because I know a lot of people in some communities, they feel like, oh, it's bad, I don't want to know what it is. And I'm like, but you gotta know, so you know what you're working against. Like, and the clients that you get, do you, how do you handle your clients that feel that way,
that don't want to, like, check their scores?
Yeah, do you get clients that don't? Yeah,
they have to face it. They have to face. They have to be prepared. Okay, credit is something we don't pay attention to. Normal people don't really say, "Oh, let me check my credit score." The only time is when you start getting denied for things that you really, really want. You know, when we get really grown and we want to buy houses or get better interest rates on cars and credit cards. That's when we start to say, oh my goodness, you know what, I better get my credit right.
Yes. And you know, it was so important about not getting it right, but keeping it right. And yes, we know life happens. You know, you might take dips. You know, it's like, you just can't predict what life can bring. And a lot of people have situations where they're divorcing or separating, or, you know, and or they're getting married and they don't know their spouse's credit score. And it's like, you get married and you don't have those conversations. You know, but it's like, that's important, because you don't want their debt, it's going to impact you and your score. It can. And it's like, you might not want to go into a situation where you have to be the only one on all of the loans, because that person isn't there. And, you know, the fact that you mentioned to your husband, like, hey, we got to get this thing fixed. We got to fix this together. You know, we got to do this as a team. You know, it's very impactful, especially for your household, because then you can teach your kids, like, the importance of it. And it just kind of passes those good habits on.
Definitely. We have to empower one another. That's why our mantra is each one teach one. It's very important. And there's so many things you could do for your children, especially when they're in college and, you know, the age of 18 over. You can add them as an authorized user on your credit card, as long as your credit card is 30% or under. That would help them their score and prepare them when they come home from college.
Yes. So Credit Warriors, what are some of the services that you have available for your clients and your customers?
Okay, well, we provide educational tools and resources. I have a Credit Warrior Starter Handbook. It's about 20 pages long, and you can download it. It's a free download, and it's a step-by-step. Okay. And what I have is we have educational tools and resources that will assist our members in achieving financial freedom. And knowledge is not only repair their credit, but maintain it.
I'm looking at it now, right, actually.
Yeah, that's our golden handbook. That book right there will change your life. That book is a step-by-step guide, and it has everything in it that you need to fix your own credit, and it teaches you how to maintain it.
So for those out there that might not care or might not understand the impact of it, like, yeah, I think people might get the impact that the you might not get approved for a lot of things because of your credit. Like, okay, but how does the interest rate impact your credit score? For those that might not know,
how does the interest rate impact your credit score? Well,
how does the credit score impact your interest rate?
If you're low, your interest, if your credit score is low compared to someone who has really, really perfect credit, for a car, you can pay like 10 grand more than what a person with excellent credit would have to pay for a car. Like, it's really that serious. It's really that serious. I'm serious. It's like if your credit score is like between like a 500 and like a 579, like your interest rate can for a loan can be like 9.670%, and your monthly payments will be like $1,700 versus someone with really great credit, and theirs will be like $1,100. So you'll be paying like way more than the average than the person with perfect credit.
Yeah, it's real, and it's like you and it's unfortunate that I see it a lot. I work in banking from my 9 to 5, you know, and I see individuals come in who, you know, especially when their car breaks down, how you mentioned, like you need a car, and it's like you might not want to get it fixed, but you're just in a situation where you're impulsively having to buy a car because you're like, I got to get to work. This is what I need. And, you know, you don't pay attention to what your credit score was, you know, when you got the first car and your rate might be high and now you're paying so much more a month and the car might not be worth it. And now when you're trying to get a new car, it's like you're rolling in negative equity because the rate was so high and trying to get out of it, then you're trying to come up with down payments because, you know, you might not be in a situation where you have a 750 or 720 or, you know, whereas your rate is like 2-3% on that vehicle, whereas when you look at a trade-in, you don't owe as much because you're not paying all that interest on the car, you know. So it touches so many layers of how the score and the rate and what you're paying out of pocket per month is impactful. You know, and I think the more that you said, like, we're knowledgeable, you're going into the situation in the best case scenario, which is you don't want to wait for the last minute. You really don't.
Definitely. I mean, you want to walk into that car lot with a check from your credit union or your bank for the price of that car. You know, you don't want them to run your credit 13 times. And, I mean, it can lower your score. I mean, your score can drop, like, 60 points or more. I'm serious. Once they take your application to that back room, it's over. You have to go in there with confidence. You have to go in there knowing what you're talking about. Give them the check and buy your car that way. That's the best way to buy your car. Don't ever let them run your credit because you'll be screwed.
They know.
They know when people know. They know the difference between if I was to walk in that car lot and someone with less favorable credit. They know. They can see you coming from a mile.
Yeah, and they just trying to, and here's the thing, when it comes with the car, like, dealers are trying to get you into the car. They don't care about what you can afford. They really don't. And when you go in, you know, like Supreme said, ladies and gentlemen, like, prepared, like, I'm pre-approved for 20 grand. I know I want to spend 15. We're not going over 20. You know what I mean? And it's like you have that leverage. Because dealers, all they care about is getting that car off the lot. They might pretend that they care about you, but they really, they have a job to do, you know? And it's like, you're the one that has to pay for that car for 50, you know, for 60 months or 72 months or however long you're paying on that car. So you want to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best situation, you know, while being educated on the process and how it works.
Definitely.
I know that there's so many conversation, and some people might not understand the difference between a soft inquiry and a hard inquiry. What's the best way to describe what those are and how it can impact your score?
Okay, well, a soft inquiry, when they pull your credit, meaning the creditor, when they use the soft, when they pull it with soft inquiry, it doesn't affect your credit score at all. It's basically trying to see where you fall in if you get pre-approved for something. A hard inquiry will definitely drop your score, sometimes 14 points from just one hard inquiry. That's when they're running your social security number. The soft inquiry usually uses the last four digits of your social. And you can get credit cards actually using a soft inquiry.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. I figured they just kind of do this like mailer. You know, those are the mailers that you get in the mail, like, hey, you're pre-approved for this. But then they still ask you for your social when you call. Is that, so that's different.
Yeah, well, then, it's actually called the shopping cart trick.
Oh, okay.
The shopping cart trick. It's a legal way. It's legal, and it's a way to obtain credit cards with only a soft pull. It's community bank cards that offer the cards, and basically you have to do a few things, and I talk about this in my book. There's a whole section on shopping cart tricks. You have to do a few things. You got to clear your browser. You got to allow pop-ups, and basically you can keep trying over and over again. You have to opt in on the opt-in opt-out website and make sure,
okay,
you know you're opt-in to receive pre-screened offers from credit card companies. And once you do all that, you filled your shopping cart up with about $150 worth of stuff. You check out, and then the pre-approval usually pops up then. You enter the last four digits of your social, and then you get the card.
What?
Yeah, so that's a great way.
Wow, okay. Okay, so wait. So you, like, go to, I don't know, like, OldNavy.com or whatever. I don't know. And then, like, you're buying all the stuff. And I see the offers, especially, like, Amazon and, like, all, you know, those little things. So then you pretty much act like you're going to buy something and you really don't. And then,
yeah,
you partially
fill
out
the
credit. Like,
I did a video for it to show you guys. It's in the group, actually, the video. And it's in my booklet that I wrote. It teaches you how to do it. Yep.
Wow.
It's
and
called
you
the shopping cart trick.
Comenity is the is the bank that typically. So that's I'm thinking those are mainly department stores, right? So that's like Express and like and every time I go, see, Express is the devil. They be trying to get me, and I'm like, Express, you're not gonna get me, okay? Because I love your store, but I know. Get me in trouble. You know, but like, yeah, I seen that on the little pamphlet that they gave me, like Community Bank. But I figured, like, yeah, like New York and Company, like they're all in the same, like, umbrella. Oh,
yeah.
All right, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Go to credit.
But you just don't
want to
go crazy.
Right. Right.
You just want to do that.
Yeah,
you just don't want to. Like, go crazy. It's for people who normally, because it doesn't go by your credit score. It goes by what's in the, the central base, in the centralized system. So it's not going by what your credit score is at all. It's it's a random pop up too. So you're not always going to get it on the first try. Your friend might get it and you might not get it, you know, but there's several different stores and it's online also. You can look it up, the shopping cart trick. It's nothing that I made up. It's just something I discovered and I passed on the information to my members in my group.
Gotcha. Okay. And I see on your book, cause I'm looking at it. I'm perusing through, you know, so there's so many things with collections and charged off loans and all kinds of elements, especially, and I know this is huge because I see it a lot in my industry, like utility bills and all of that stuff being on credit. Like, but see, what I've noticed is, like, if you over Verizon or Comcast or AT&T or whatever, like, those are on your credit report, and it can give you a derogatory mark. But then once it's paid, they fall off, but they never happen. So do you find that that's a normal thing? Are they supposed to report to your credit? Or, like, because it is a utility bill, and it's kind of like they do have your social, I guess, to get you approved for the electric bill or whatever. But do you find that more people that you help have a lot of utility collections on their credit report as opposed to other things?
I see everything. I mean, no report to me is worse or better than the next one. I see more hospital bills. More hospital bills than anything. $53 bills, $29, little tiny bills that are just forgotten. People
don't understand. Once you miss a payment, your score can drop like 60 points from one missed payment.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, forget about it. Or they're just too busy and they forget. And it goes into collections.
Yeah.
But yes, utility bills also, but mainly hospital bills.
See, I feel like, and I know this has a lot to do with the individuals in office and how we change some of those laws, because I feel like, yeah, you got your co-pays and all those things that might, you know, it might have been hospitalized or whatever, but I feel like it's not right for your medical bills to affect your credit. Like, it's like, you don't, something, because the thing is, you don't plan to get sick. You really don't. It just kind of happens. And then, you know, you might be in a situation where you're living paycheck to paycheck and you really can't afford to go to the hospital, but you got to go. And then the fact that now you might have had a 690 or a 710 credit score, and all of a sudden you didn't pay a $40 copay, you're now like a 630. And you're like, wait a minute, like, you know, and then you have to build it back up to where it was, all because of the medical bill. You know, it's pretty sad. We got to move that up.
Yes, it is. We definitely
do.
Just collectively, we really do. And we have to help one another. When you receive knowledge like this, you have to pass it on. And that's what we're based on. Credit Warriors it started off as a Facebook group on May 26, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
We incorporated into our official business on July 19th. And then in Georgia, we also incorporated our business October 11th of last year. So we're growing really fast. But the thing is, before we became an official business, and even now, it's all about passing on the knowledge that you learn. And that's why I would never sell this book, my manual. I would never sell it. It will always be given away for free. People, why are you giving it away? Because you have to spread the word. You have to empower one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. If you choose to hire me, you can hire me. But I'm telling you, you can do this yourself. You can do this yourself. It's not rocket science. It's a step-by-step guide, and it will get you where you need to be. There's thousands of people in my group that are buying their dream homes. They're getting the leverage they deserve just by using my techniques. And they're just techniques that I didn't make this up. These are the laws. These are techniques that I've discovered, and I'm just passing it on. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking through it. You know, and you have links and you have contact information for the CEOs of a lot of the creditors, and you got your disclaimers and the goodwill letters and the pay or delete letters, and here's another question. Speaking of pay and delete, because I'm looking through everything, the questions are just popping in my head. Can you tell everyone how long do items stay on your credit report?
Oh, it does.
Like, if they're paid or, yeah.
It's about 7 years.
About seven years.
Bankruptcies, public records could be like 10 years. Collections, like 7 years. But you can fight all that stuff. You can fight it by using the law in your favor, because the law states that the credit bureau has to have original documentation.
Mm-hmm.
They do not, because everything's electronically sent over. So that's the loophole. That's the loophole. That's why we win. Okay? When the computer age came, they did not change the law. They left the law in the Stone Age. So that loophole is original documentation. So I do not fight the creditor. I go after the credit bureau. They have to prove it or remove it. Those are the rules.
Oh, okay.
That's why we win. It's a fight. I'm not going to say after one round of letters, everything's going to magically just fall off. You might see some people, oh my goodness, Equifax let me be great. They took off 71 accounts. Yay. It's not going to happen to everyone. It might be one out of 500 people that get that lucky.
Right.
You have to keep fighting.
Yeah.
The only thing is, you cannot give up. You have to keep shooting out those letters.
Right.
You have to put in those CFPB complaints, which is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. You got to put in those complaints. You have to put in that work. You cannot give up. That's the only way they win, is when you give up. And people hire me to think I'm just the credit fairy, and I snap my finger and everybody just bows down and they take it off. And they fight me back,
right.
And they fight me back brutally.
Yeah.
They fight me back brutally, and I have to fight back.
Right. Oh, you know, I don't know if you saw this in a recent article, but I believe it was a government official, and he mentioned he had questions about why student loans can't be discharged off of bankruptcy. Did you see that article? It was interesting. So it's the new Fed chair. That's what it was. And I'm pulling it up now. It was on MarketWatch. Jerome Powell, he testified in the Senate banking, you know, because, you know, student loans is huge. Student loans are also messing up credit, you know, because I find that people owe more in student loans than they make a year, you know, which is just crazy. And in some instances, it can, you know, hurt, you know, buying a home. If it's, you got to defer them, then you get them out of deferment, then you pay them, and they're just always there. So the new chairman of the Federal Reserve, he questioned why borrowers who are struggling, and let's say they file bankruptcy, why can't they include their student loans in the bankruptcy? Because technically, when you're filing bankruptcy, you're saying, hey, I am in debt. I can't afford any of this. Hey, government, pay this off, and I'm just going to just whatever. And you know 10 years is going to be on your credit report. But he said that 40 million Americans have about $1.4 trillion in student loans. And out of that, and I think this was a part of those laws that you mentioned, how the laws have been updated to the reality of, like, it's not meeting, you know, today, you know, and how life is going on. You know, because if you think about student loans back in the 1980, 1990, they weren't as expensive as they are now. You know, there was other instances. But in 1970s, he's talking about, like, wait a minute, the Department of Education is, like, trying to figure out, like, we have people filing bankruptcy, they're calling for deferments, they can't afford to pay, their credit is being impacted, and all these things. But Congress said that they haven't discussed changing the law. So it's interesting to see what happens, because he's the new chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, and he's questioning it. Like, if someone's saying, I can't afford to live, but you're going to keep the student loans on there and it's reporting negatively, it's not helping them because they can't afford it. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. With student loans, I definitely, student loans, I stay in my lane. I do the credit thing. I leave that to the people who, that's their, I have an admin, Jeanette. She knows a lot about student loans. And student loans I tend to try to stay away from that right there, but those are killing a lot of people financially. I mean, they haunt, man. They haunt you. You have to pay them off aggressively. That's the advice I give to people. You have to try. If you have a repayment plan of $12 a month, man, you got to triple, quadruple that payment. You got to get got to get it down as fast as you can. I mean, it really hurts you. When you have too much debt. People don't understand that.
It's crazy.
Use your tax money, do whatever you have to do.
Right, to get rid of them. Because, you know, you want to go to college, you know, and then it's like, when it comes, like you mentioned, in what's in your book, like, your debt to income and all of that, like, there's so many layers of how it can impact you. So if your student loans are here, you make this and you're trying to buy a home, it's like all these factors that can, you know, kind of hurt you with that, you know. But it's interesting that out of all of the new presidents and chairs of the Federal Reserve Board, you know, he's the first one to question it, and he's saying it should be able to be included. And then in the article, you know how they have the forms, like, people said, well, what I can do is just put it on my credit card and then put the credit card on bankruptcy. I'm like, wait. You know, like you said, people try to find loopholes to not pay student loans back, you know, and it's like, it's sad, but, you know, not to say that you should just file bankruptcy, because that's never good for everybody either.
No, it really hurts you.
It does.
It hurts so bad. People just don't know. It hurts.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the thing, like, I get, you know, there are situations where people have to, you know, like, if it's, you know, but then you do have to look at your resources and learn, you know, go to a financial counselor, like, figure out what you can do to avoid it. I say to anybody, like, that should be your very last resort. That should never be number one. And I know you might see this in your client base or when they consult with you, you know, when they inquire, like, some people try to file just to get out of paying things, and that's never the right thing to do either, because it's still a habit that you have. It's not a life situation, you know, where you might have lost your job and you have no income, or your home, you know, all those other things that might come into play. But don't ever use that as a way to just avoid paying things, because that's never good either.
Yes, there's a lot of young people who are filing bankruptcy by the droves. I've been in this industry, I have never knew that so many young people. I thought bankruptcy, you know, my whole perception of bankruptcy was like older people that had like so many assets. It's young people that are trying to get out of paying their bills, and they're so desperate.
Yeah.
And that's their only, for them, that's their only hope. So people out there, I mean, if you're listening, that should be definitely your last resort. To file bankruptcy.
Yeah. Well, you know, we'll reach out to Credit Warrior. See what we can do. Like, there's services available for you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm on the website, but I definitely want you to let everybody know, like, what type of services you offer, and how can they connect with you and your team to take advantage of your services.
Okay. Well, Credit Warriors, most of it is, like I said, it's each one teach one. It's you enter to the group. It's Credit Warriors, each one teach one. You go into our group, and you will hit the search bar, the magnifying glass, and anything you need to know, it's in that group. Any answers.
Okay.
I do, myself, I do credit repair, and I also... will sit with you on a one-on-one or over the phone and teach you how to do it yourself. For it takes about an hour, and I'll sit with you while you write down your notes, and I will guide you on how to do it yourself. Before you pay me or anyone else, all right, I would say try it yourself. If you have the time. If you don't have the time, then you will pay a professional. But if you do have the time, I would say grab the book, download the free handbook, and that guide will help you every step of the way.
Yes, because I'm looking. You have so many free files, information on hard inquiries, files on rebuilding your credit, the best and worst secure credit cards, which is a great thing to know, information on a 609 letter.
We have those letters, too. We have all that. All those letters. I forgot to mention. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. We have all those letters on our website. There's a paid portion of the website. You pay $20 a month, and you have access to over 100 letters, literally over 100 letters, different letters to fight the credit bureaus.
Wow. See, it's right there.
It's all right there.
And what's interesting is I didn't even know what a 609 letter was, and I'm reading it to dispute errors and other inaccuracies off your credit report. Late payments, you know, and all of those things help, you know, increase your score. So a lot, like, it's out here, y'all. Get your life.
Yes, it's in there. It breaks down everything. My handbook and my website is very, very informative. It has it's a live website also. My admin, David, he's the one that runs that website, and there's new information being pumped into that website like every hour, like different information, different articles. It has so much. And my book breaks down everything. Like, it literally will break it down to a science, and it's written in a way where you guys understand. It's not complex at all to read. I wrote it so it can be as simple as possible.
And, you know, before I let you go, I know you might have gotten a lot of questions with your customers and just in your Facebook groups and things of that nature, the whole Equifax breach a couple months ago. And, you know, yeah, it's scary because you don't want your credit, your Social Security number to be impacted, you know. And how did your team handle that, you know, because I know some people were doing security freezes and some people were signing up for their trusted ID alert system. Like, how did your team handle supporting your customers with the breach?
I just tell them, I tell everyone to sign up for some type of credit monitoring service, something that will give you alerts if anyone ever tries to use your social. You'll get an alert. Also, mm-hmm, I advise them, if you're really, really, you know, really worried about it, you can freeze your reports. You can you can freeze your third-party reporting agency reports also, and suppress those files with LexisNexis.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you know, that breach did occur, but you have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You have to be prepared for stuff like that to happen, and just stay in the know, man. Just pay attention if you get to your emails, because usually that's where you'll get an alert, an inquiry alert.
Yeah.
And if you see any suspicious activity, you have to call immediately. You'll call the place where the inquiry occurred and let them know that wasn't you, you know. And we have multiple inquiry removal letters also. So we have letters that will demand for the company to remove that inquiry if you have no credit attached to it.
Got you. Okay. And you know, I know this is in your website, your pamphlets, your all the files you had. And you mentioned that, of course, sometimes things take time. And I know, I would think you would agree with me on this, but sometimes, and it's so important that you mentioned that it takes time, you know, your score can drop in a day, and it's hard to build it back up than it is to start, you know. And when I'm talking to my new customers, you know, at my bank, and especially college students, they're getting credit, they're trying to understand, and, you know, it's important that I advise them of, hey, because you have no credit, it's so easy for you to start high. But the moment that you hit a 30-day mark on your credit, or 15-day late, or, you know, you're starting yourself on a slower scope of dropping fast, and to build yourself back up on your own can take time. So, you know, I think people should understand, you know, that nothing is a quick fix. You have to build the habit and understand how it works. And, you know, and even with different credit cards, and for those of you that are able, that's listening, to join a credit union. Credit unions have the best lending rates, okay? Like, if you can get with a local credit union for your credit cards, your loans, your cars, you know, you have a better way of getting different products and services that can help you build and talk to you and answer those questions. So, you know, yes, Capital One and Bank of America and all these other places are great. However, they may not have those tools and resources to educate you on how it works. And to have a service at Credit Warriors where there's links and resources there, you know, and maybe your local credit union, if you can join one, you know, those are things that you can use to your advantage. Because, you know, like you said, each one teach one. You got to learn. It's all about that knowledge.
Yes, definitely. And you got to empower one another. Don't be a hoarder of information, guys. You have to empower your neighbors. This is how the community builds and it heals, is when you help one another. You teach one another. Be patient and love one another. It's all about positive energy.
Yes. Especially in 2018, y'all. Like, look, y'all, everybody up here talking about Wakanda this, Wakanda that. Like, we got to build this thing on up.
That starts within. Wakanda starts within. You have to be that example.
Mm-hmm.
It starts within.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people fail to realize.
Yeah.
It's within.
Yep.
Okay?
It's true. So let everybody know, Miss Supreme Essence. If y'all like, who is this lady? That's Supreme Essence. She's the woman that's in charge, making it do what it do with Credit Warriors. She's making changing lives one credit score at a time. Can you let everybody know where they can connect with you on social media? Maybe if they want to email you a question or something like that, how they can connect with you.
Okay. Well, right now, my admin team, they're great. They work in a group to answer all questions. Right now is a really busy season for me, and it's really kind of tough to get in touch with me. But my admin team and Credit Warriors, our Facebook group, they answer everything. Sometimes I'm able to jump on and talk to people, but right now I'm just extremely busy, and I'm just going to keep it real with you guys. I do love my members, but I have to keep it real with everyone. I'm extremely, extremely busy. But I still try to make time to talk to the few handful of people I'm able to every day. But unfortunately, for you really, really to get a conversation with me, it has to be by appointment only. And if you go into the Facebook group, we have a link for my calendar. It's in the pen post of my group. So they can get a one-on-one session for an hour with me. And if they have questions, they can definitely ask in the group. And not only my admin, but the group itself. People, if you ask a question in the group, another member is going to jump on the timeline. They're going to answer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's what the group is designed for. It's designed for you guys to help one another. I just lay down the basic foundation, and it's the group. The group runs itself. The people in the group run the group.
Gotcha. That's what's up. I just shared the group. I just shared the pages. I've shared it all. Definitely, ladies and gentlemen, go to creditwarriors.com. Go to the website. Creditwarriors.org, I'm sorry, is the website.
Yes.
Go to the website. See the files. There's a lot of free files. I was perusing all up and through while I'm talking to Miss Essence here. So much information. On how you can empower yourself to rebuild. Because, yes, we're talking about the upper, middle, lower class, and it's important to not only understand how your money can work with it for you, but also how your credit is in conjunction with it. You know, I've helped so many customers. I make the money. You know, I can afford this. I could pay this, but your credit score is a 473. Yeah, you make $100,000 a year, but you know, that number, it shows your responsibility. It shows how you handle and how responsible you are financially. So, yeah, you can make all the money you want, but if you don't show your good payment history and how you handle things, it doesn't help. And then there's the flip side. I see in help members who have an 820 credit score, and they might only make $30,000 a year. And they're, because of that score, lenders tend to take a chance on that because they see how you handle things and you build your score up so wonderful, especially with your debt to income being in a reasonable place. So it all goes hand in hand. You can make all the money in the world, but if you don't pay things on time, you know, it's real.
Definitely is. You hit it right on the nail with that, because 2016, I was broken in glass. I was making $300 a week at working at a restaurant. Actually, into February 2017, I was working 2 days out of the week at a restaurant. And my credit score was elite. And I tell you, even though my credit score was elite, my husband and I, our budget for our wedding was $1,500. And we got married on a $1,500 budget wedding. Yes, we did. October 1st, 2016, we did it. And our credit scores were amazing, but we didn't take advantage of that. We still stuck to the script, and So they will give you astronomical limits, but you have to know how to respect that and know that you can't really afford to go balling, you know. And that was our case back in 2016 and early 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's definitely
absolutely
true.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And for individuals that's listening who are, you know, who might be afraid of credit, who might be afraid of credit cards, you know, who might not know, you know, because sometimes you're afraid of what you don't know. And, you know, just some basic, you know, information on how to use credit cards, the percentages of if your limit is 1,000, don't use 900. Like, you know, there's there's formulas to it, you know, and have a purpose for your credit cards. And this is one trick, and I don't know if, of course, you and your team probably talk about it in the Facebook group, but this is one thing that I know I educate my customers, you know, with credit cards. Because I get those, I don't want a credit card, I don't want it, I don't want it. I'm like, okay, look at the things that you pay automatically. So you pay your car note, you pay your electric bill, you pay your cell phone bill, you know, you buy food and gas, right? Those, in most cases, are things that's already budgeted out throughout your paychecks, right? So I tell customers, hey, if you know that you have to put gas in your car and you have to pay your cell phone bill, and you know that's, what, $150 a month, whatever, pay that on your cash back credit card. Set it up where you automatically are paying that off in full. So not only are you building your credit score because you're not paying interest because you would have paid that anyway out of your pocket, you're also earning cash rewards on the money you would have put out your pocket anyway. Like, you have to figure out ways to let it work for you and use it responsibly. You know, have a card for, you know, your monthly expenses that you know you're going to pay with your paycheck anyway. Set it up where it automatically pays every 2 weeks what you would have already put out. And I think that just goes along with budgeting and planning. And it takes discipline to get to that point. You know, that's not something that you can do overnight unless you've planned those things out. But it's so important to use your credit cards in a responsible way. You know, have one for emergencies, okay? Use it only for emergencies. Put it away, you know, and not just ball out of control just because you have it. You know, buying bottles, popping this. No. Be responsible with it. And if you use it in a way where you pay it off in full every month, you're not paying any interest, it's built in your credit score, you're keeping your debt to income down, like it works for you in that way, you know. So, you know, I think those resources are there, you know, and I've seen a lot of it on your website. And I'm just so thankful that you are on the show and you're able to, I'm helping you put the information out there, you know, and sharing and helping people help themselves and still having your team as a support. And I just looked at your Facebook group, like, you guys have 300 and something thousand members. So, like, you got an active group, which is the bomb.
Yes, you know? I'm telling you, we have actually 422,000 members in our Facebook group.
Oh, wow,
group.
Yes.
Yes.
Lord, yes.
It's
so,
I don't know, actually it's 424,000. 424,547. I can see it on this end because I'm the admin, so...
Got
that's
you.
How many people.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes,
I just put my little request in to join the group. I shared it. You know what I mean? I shared your page. So definitely connect with the group. Credit Warriors, Each One Teach One. It's a Facebook group. Facebook groups are, they're great Facebook groups, and then there's some that you just need to get out of. This is one that I think it's never too late to start building on your credit, you know, and you know, I'm just glad your team is here to help us get there, man. It's just great.
Definitely.
Yes.
I couldn't do it without my supporters. My group members mean everything to me. My admin team means everything. My sons, my husband, those who help me. I can't do this by myself, and I'm just grateful. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. We definitely got to have you back on because credit is something that grows. It changes. Laws change. You know, all kinds of things are changing, and the more people that we can help get to that place of financial responsibility, financial wealth, you know, it's just so important that we empower, especially our minorities and women and I think these are some things that should be taught in school. Like, kids should know this, and they should understand this in high school, you know, and understand that financial literacy, because it's just huge. It's so important. So I thank you for hanging out with us. You're definitely
thank you.
A
family
member.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
No problem. Yes, man, shout out to your team. Much love, and I'm sharing the page. You guys check it out. You know, we're talking about the rich class, the upper class, the lower class. I still got some more differences between the middle and the rich. Like, we got to talk about that, too, if we close out the show. Tonight's music is all about money, right? So I'm going to go back with a little Kanye, Gold Digger. We'll be back. It's Miss Lee. It's Supreme Essence, Credit Warriors.
Each one teach one.
She take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yes, it's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. way over time. That digs on me.
She kill me, mommy. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke. Broke.
She kill me, mommy.
Now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke. Broke. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. Far as girls, you got a flock. I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one. Have you seen her? My psychic told me she have a sex arena. Trina, Gina, for Lopez. Four kids, and I gotta take all they bad to show biz. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I put up in the bins, they all got a bin. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you f***ing with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to f*** with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, broke, Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, broke, Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You would see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got LiPo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. Money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want freedom. We want freedom. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave yo, she gon' leave with half. 18 years, 18 years. And on her 18th birthday, found out it wasn't his. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, broke, Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke, broke, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down, Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Get down, girl, gon' head, get down. Gold digger, you got knees. You don't want a dude to smoke, but he can't buy food. You go out to eat, he can't pay, y'all can't leave. His dishes in the back, you gotta roll up your sleeves. But while y'all washing, watch him. He gon' make it to a beans out of that toxin. He got that ambition, baby. Look at his eyes. This week he mopping floors, next week is a surprise. So stick by his side. I know his dude's ballin', and yeah, that's nice. And they gon' keep calling and trying, but you stay right, girl. And when he get on, he leave your for a white girl. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Let me hear that back.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your girl, Missy, Kanye West, Gold Digger. We're talking about financial literacy. We're talking about the upper middle, lower class, all of that good stuff. So before, much love and just blessings to Supreme Essence and her team, creditwarriors.org. Definitely check out the website. Search for Credit Warriors on Facebook. Join the group. I mean, the more you know, man, that's just what this life is about. There's so many people up here, you know, walking through life, acting like they don't know anything, don't want to know. Don't be afraid to know. And that's why I felt it was so important that we talk about money and wealthy and where you fit and how you can make your money work for you. And just some lifestyle changes that we can make. With not only we talk about relationships with men and women, we talk about relationships with family members, but you got to talk about the relationships you have in your professional and financial lives as well. We talked about some components of the differences between the middle class and the rich people. So one thing we talked about before earlier in the show, middle class live comfortably, the rich embrace being uncomfortable, so they take more risk. The middle class live above their means, where the rich live below their means. So being cost conscious about what you buy. The number three was middle class climb the corporate ladder. The rich own the ladder. Okay, and you know I'm a firm believer. Not everybody needs to work for people. Sometimes you got to step out on faith and have your own business. Number four, middle class are friends with everybody. The rich choose wisely. Your circle is so important, and your circle will change throughout the experiences you go through. Here's number five on this list of 10. The middle class work to earn, where the rich work to learn. That is so important to understand. And you, if you sit back and think about your friends, family members that's in the middle class, they're just working to earn money for the check, but they're not so quick to learn something new and grow their money and be the expert in that field of what they do. You know what I'm saying? Number six, the middle class have things. The rich have money. When I say money, and I think what they're talking about here, and I'm looking at this article, and this is on lifehack.org. Look, rich people aren't buying Jordan, Louis Vuitton bags, Michael Kors this. They're not out there buying all of this. They have investments. They have property. They have stocks. They have bonds. They have CDs. They have money manager accounts. They have all of these things that help them earn on their dollar. It's okay to treat every now and then. But when you have more sneakers in your closet, more bags in your closet, more video games in your closet, more electronics in your closet, three cars, two bikes, jewelry, Pandora, this, like, a lot of rich people don't have those things because guess what? They got CDs making 2.5%, 3.5%. They in stocks and bonds. They own stock in the company that you're buying in. It's all about the way that you flip your money and understand how it can work for you, not work for your money. Number seven, the middle class, they focus on saving, where the rich focus on earning. Ties right into it. And the thing is, with some of the people in the middle class, it's hard for them to save. And one of the conversations I had with the customers I deal with at my 9-to-5 is that, hey, what kind of saver are you? How good are you at saving? Are you someone that if you see it, you got to spend it? Are you someone that you're better off saving if you don't see it? So guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, talk to the people at your bank. Set up automatic transfers to go to an account that you don't see. Every 2 weeks, $25 could just go to that account. You don't see it. It happens without you knowing, you know. And then that way, you're able to look at the end of the year and see what you have. People also that I find, they take all their change for the year. They put it in a jar. At the end of the year, that change, they saved up $500, $600, $700,000 and just change because they're just saving their money in a way that works for them. If you're not someone that can save dollars, you're not just someone that can save your coin. Coin is adds up. And I know a lot of us might not carry cash as frequent. You know, challenge yourself. Maybe carry cash once a week. Break the 10. Get the change. Put it in a jar. You get what I'm saying? Then by the end of the year, you have money for that you might not have had. You can use it to buy stock, put it in the CD, that kind of thing. Number eight. The middle class are emotional with money, and the rich are logical. That's interesting. You know, emotions are tied. You know, making emotional decisions about what it feels, does this feel right? You have to sit and think about the logistics behind the decisions that you make with your money. That's so, so, so important. You know, when you put your emotions in decisions, y'all know, sometimes you don't make the best decision. I know some of y'all might have been with a man, well, you've been with a chick, it just felt right, and it really wasn't good for you. Sometimes you got to take a moment and let your mind take a moment in your heart. So you got to balance that thing on out. Number nine on this list of 10 differences between the middle and the rich. The middle class underestimates their potential. The rich set huge goals. There's nothing wrong with setting goals because if you set goals, you have your vision board. I'm looking at my vision board right now. I have one, and I was just telling my bestie, we got to make new vision boards. Your vision board is what you look at every day. Those are the goals. That's what you see. That's what you achieve. It's a constant reminder of what you want to accomplish. When you're in the middle class, sometimes you say, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I'm smart enough. I don't know if I have the experience. I'm just trying to get this paper. I'm just trying to make this money. I'm just trying to do this. And that's fine to have that drive to make the money, but what are you making the money for? You have to have a goal. And it doesn't have to be a 5-year goal. It could be a weekly goal. For this week, I'm going to save $10. For next week, I'm going to save $10 more. Like, you just start it off at the pace that works best for you. Set your goals high. And if you don't get that goal, it's okay, because you can, it's still a goal. The goal is hit when you achieve it and surpass it. Then you can set another one. Don't ever think if you're not making your goal, it's a failure, because it's not. I mean, I think Will Smith said it best on his Instagram. You got to know, was it? No, actually, it was my man Nick Foles. Your failures are your successes, because I'm an Eagles fan, and that's just what it is. And number 10, last on the list, the middle class believe in hard work, and the rich believe in leverage, okay? Because you got the resources when you're rich. It's okay to have the hard work, but sometimes you got to have leverage, too. This is what I can bring to the table. What can you bring to the table? Let's put our ducks in a row. Let's see who got the bigger ducks, okay? And guess what? I'm going to go over here with my ducks, because your ducks ain't quacking the way that my ducks quack. You get what I'm saying? So, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you got a lot out of this topic tonight. You know, between credit and wealth and finances, look at how you're using your money. Think about how you can leverage what you have, because you're literally, like, this life is not promised. You know what I'm saying? It's already been reported what Rick Ross is in on life support. You know, people are dying. You know, so much is going on right now. And you want to make sure that you're setting up your financial wellness for your next generation. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired, ladies and gentlemen, of seeing GoFundMe pages on Facebook to bury people because you don't have your finances in order. You know, it's, oh, yeah, we might be living paycheck to paycheck, but you can break the cycle. Everybody has a gift. God has given all of us a gift. Are you using your gift to the way that God wants you to use it? He doesn't want you to waste it. It's okay to work for someone, but if that's your end goal, okay, take the money that you're earning from making it from someone else and invest it. If you love Chipotle, buy stock in Chipotle. If you love Starbucks, buy stock in Starbucks. At least you can say you are a stakeholder, you are a shareholder in this company. That's something that you can pass down to your children and your nephews and your nieces and those that come after you. That's what life is about. We have to create our own wealth the way that we can do it for ourselves. You don't have to live up with the Joneses to keep up with the Joneses. You don't. You keep up with your own last name and make your mark the way that's best for you. So I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. I can't wait to catch you guys next week. Send prayers out to my co-hosts because they're struggling, y'all. You know, us ladies, I got to hold it down. It's all good because this is Missy Experience. I'm your girl, Missy. JT will be back next week with sports. T will be back next week with his music, what's hot on T's box, giving you the hottest music that's on his box. If you haven't seen the Black Panther, go see it again. And again, I've seen it twice already. Listen to, I mean, because there's some financial wealth in that too. Go buy up some property. Make it do what it do. It's your girl, Missy. Have a great weekend. Much love, blessings, peace, and hug your neighbor. Love on your loved ones. Tomorrow's not promised. Without him, we wouldn't be here. Much blessings.